Stammer dilemma, what filler is, what's it about, and then also the question of the tefillah of a pateach. If a person's holding by the second level of a tochen, the second shita of a tochen, Rashi, kol sheva alecha besimcha makabu, sheva alecha makabu besimcha ba'avah. So then what's the point of davening to change it? If a person has chilul this poor, doesn't have money, so look, it's a chitov, that's the best thing. Quasi davening for Hashem to take away the thing. It means you have a steer in your head. You have a problem. On the one hand, whatever you have, you samach b'chelkoi, you ezosheh samach b'chelkoi, you're happy with it, you know it's the best thing, this is from Hashem, Hashem knows better than me, a kol tov. And at the same time, you're davening to change it. Yeah, and you have to daven seriously. So why would you daven to change something that's good, l'chayra? That's really the problem that we have here. This is the Ratzon Hashem. So then it's the best possible thing for me. And I'm telling Hashem, yeah, I know it's the best possible thing for me, and it's your Ratzon, and I'm a Kabbal, and I'm happy with it, and I'm Eizo Hashem, Samach B'chel, can I please take it away? The law move on. So that's a big problem. I mean, but in the overall bigger problem of Stamba, we daven. I'm not going to go into that. But within there, there's this prat which needs to be dealt with, and we're not gonna cover the whole of all the sugyas here of tefillah. What is tefillah? How we daven? There's a law. There's a bichlal or shaykh. We can stop learning the sefer. We can spend the next 5 years. We can do tefillah if you want. But at least to just try and get some type of a handle. On Lamaisa, how are we supposed to daven? How are you davening when you know that everything's the best? So you'll see, yeah, big insight, and it's a big shift, it's a big switch in the way one approaches tefillah. I'm going to say the words, but we'll have to thresh this out as we go along. You start davening from Hashem's perspective rather than yours. That's the mishpat. I'll say it again because it's a little bit counterintuitive. But you start davening, you start seeing things from Hashem's perspective, not yours. And then you're able to daven. Let's see what that means. I'm just giving you a heads up. This is a bit of a head twist. Okay. Lamai said this is not, it's not his chidushim. This is very much based on the Nefesh HaChaim. We'll see. Okay. So on Reish Gimel, in the second half there, in the second paragraph there. Sorry, just 1 second. Okay, fine. He says like this. התשובה לשאלה זו היא, כחוכמוסו יסברך גוזרה, כשום שפע בעולם, because the divine wisdom, הקדוש ברוך הוא, determined, he decided, that nothing comes into the world, ואפילו זה שנגזר לו שירד ממרוימים, even something which is gozer that has to come into the world. The chokhma elyon has decided this is going to come into the world, but it won't come into the world, any yered ללא תפילה, it's not going to come down without תפילה. That doesn't mean that if you have a child who wants a sweet, so you take him, if you don't ask, you're not getting the sweet. That's not what it means. What it means is that tefillah is the kli that goes up into wherever that shefa that has to come down into the world exists, and it brings it down into the world. That's what that means. Nothing's yared into the world until you daven. But Hashem, if you don't say please, you don't get the sweet. There's a lopsha. That is that the tefillah does something. The tefillah has a spiritual koyach, which is what unlocks the aboveness, that higher stuff that brings it down into this world. That's the simple understanding of what we're saying here. The mechanism of tefillah is what unlocks the shefa, allows the shefa to come down. It's what brings the shefa down, the ma'aseh. The kain v'tzinu b'rashi b'ma'aseh reishi salaposuk v'kol siach hasadet yeh b'aretz. All the greenery that was going to grow was already wasn't yet in the land. And all the grass in the fields hadn't sprouted yet. Because Hashem hadn't watered, Hashem hadn't made it rain. There was no one. Adam wasn't there to work the land. Finish Rashi Sham. Why didn't it rain? The fisher Adam ain't lava de Sodoma, because there wasn't an Adam to work the land. The ain't make betavosin shel gishomim. There was no one to recognize the goodness of rain. That's what Rashi's saying here. Because Shabbat Adam v'yedeshem tzerich leilam. When Adam came along and he saw this was a need for the world, Itpalela Layem Viyodu. The same outcome. He davened, he saw the need, he davened for it, and then it came into the world and the plants tzamach. That's where we see clearly, claimer, the Marot Shagas Shomim Ayetzer Cholam. The rain was a need for the world. If it didn't rain, the world would have just, that's it, it wouldn't have been a world. There's no one to daven for it. That it didn't come. The rain didn't come. But what caught my eye was the ein makir betovosin shel geshomim. You need to recognize the goodness. You need someone in the world to recognize the goodness of the rain. That's why it rains. It rains in order for us to recognize the goodness and turn that into a chorus of toiv and to be connecting the rain back to Hashem. I never noticed that before. Wow. So enough to just know that rain is important and you daven for it. You have to be able to recognize the goodness of it in order to turn that into a chorus of toiv. That's awesome. Okay. So for sure, the rain needs to come down. But Hashem made the world in such a way that without that machine going up there, that thing called Tefillah going up there and doing whatever it does, the rain's not going to come down. Zuma Rechaz HaKesha, this is a system of relationship that Hashem set up, a Kaima, Ben Shemaim V'Aretz. There's a Shemaim and there's an Aretz, and there's a connection between Shemaim V'Aretz. And what you do in the Aretz has a Hashpo, and it affects what's going on in the Shemaim. The Shemaim Eshpeim Shefel Aretz, the Shemaim bestows benefit on the Aretz, Ulam Rak B'Tanai Sha'adan Eintzab Aretz Mechabrim V'Vakashosu U'B'Tfilosu. Amazing, amazing what he's saying here. You could read this and go faster without even knowing what you're talking about. There's a system called Shemaim where all the Shefa is, and the Shefa comes from there into this world. But there has to be something that happens in this world that causes that Shefa to come down here. That's the avoider that Adam does. Lamaisa is through the Tarek Mitzvot. What brings that higher plane, that higher world into this world is the 613 Mitzvot. Here we're speaking specifically about Tefillah. Tefillah is the tool that really does that. But that's the connecting. That's what connects the lower world to the higher world. The lower world stays the lower world. The Shemaim stays Shemaim. Adam goes, he stays here, but he has this ability somehow to go up there and push buttons, which brings that higher shefa down into this world. That's through the mechanism of tefillah. So that's what's going on here. Moshe Vada Vadayme, Yazerim Chashmal, Amagia Lekol Bait. You have Chashmal in your house. Everyone has Chashmal in their houses. Kedela Ainois Mi Oiroi, but however, to have benefit from the light, it doesn't help that you have Chashmal in your house and that the light's sitting there on the roof. Chayru Lachatz Ala Metag. You have to push a button. When you push the button sends a message all the way to the Tachana Koch, whatever, opens up the Zerim, and the Zerim comes in and flows into the light. Tefillah is the switch. It's actually more than that. That's a fair marshal, but it's much more than just a switch. You're actually going into the Tachana Koich and drawing out the Chashmal. It's not just the switch. It's more than the switch. But okay, that's not our subject now. And that's a good enough of a marshal for us to work with. When you're davening, you're pushing the switch, which opens up and allows the Shefa to come into the world. So that's the first thing we need to know, how Tefillah works. The Choshuv Lahoisif, very important to add, yeah. Afal Pi She'ein Tefillah Hashava Reikam. Even though Tefillah never returns empty, and that's a whole, that's to be on its own, we have to see, it's not so partial. You call Malcolm Ainze Muchrach Shah Tefillah Ta'ane Bo'isa Oifen Shabika Shamit Palal. Let's hear what he has to say, and then I'll show you what the problem with this is. Try and see and understand something a bit more subtle here. We know that Tefillah doesn't come back Reikam. Fine, no Tefillah is ever turned back empty. However, it doesn't always come back in the way the person was asking for it, wanted it. V'yaisamikach. Mimusha shefa lokaya magia l'yaday ha'tfila enu chayv lagia l'adam ha'mevakesh. It's also not chayv that if you're davening for something, you'll get it. It could be that the shefa will come into the world, but it'll go somewhere else because it's not good for you, but it's good for somebody else. It means you push the button, but you don't get the lights. We'll see. Become to somebody else. This is all based on Hashem's infinite wisdom, why that happens. The person who davened, he'll get the schar because he brought whatever shefa to come into the world, came into the world, and other people benefited from it, even though he himself didn't see the direct benefits of it. Now that's a very complicated story. Not sure whether to deal with it now, to go right and come back and deal with it. There's an obvious kashi, Arabois, I don't know if you've picked this up. Okay, maybe if you haven't got the cash, I'm not gonna make it more complicated. Let's go right and maybe we'll come back or we won't. We'll see. Let's see how it goes. The big problem here. The big problem with this is what the world says. Well, yes, for somebody who's thinking a little bit. Why were they barren? Why couldn't they have children? Shimon said, how do you understand Trat here? These poor women are plotting to have children. They want to have children, not because they just want to have children, but because they want to build Klal Yisrael. They know, they understand what having children is. And they're suffering terribly because they don't have it. And Hashem doesn't give the children because he likes their tefillahs. So because you like someone else's tefillah, you torture them. Ma Trat here.
Sorry, Rav, just to step you back on your last point. Is the question what you want to know is that how does it work with Pitachon then? If everything's going to be, then how can Hashem set the world up the way that if you don't daven, then it's not going to be what it's going to be? Is that where you're going with it, or is it just side
point? No, that's not, no. I mean, that's the overriding question we're dealing with.
Right, that's the question.
No, I have another question just on Tfilah Stam. No, I have a kashi on what he just said, that ain't Tfilah Hashavah Reika. I never got what I wanted. No, you didn't get it, but the next door neighbor got it. That's what he said. Doesn't always come in the way you. Doesn't always go to the person you wanted. So there, I have a kasha, but I don't want to go down there now.
Okay, sorry. Just thinking if it was the same thing we're dealing with.
Take a tangent. No, the question you're asking is the overriding question. Yeah, is why Hashem set it up? We can never ask. One sec. Why Hashem set it up the way he did? We can never ask. He did because he did. Why Hashem created the world? Because that's why he created the world. Because that Oyle rots in the liver. He decided to do it. Why? We don't ever ask why Hashem does what he does. We try to understand after he did it how I understand what Hashem did. But why he did it? Because that's what he did. We'll see. Why Hashem created a world in which we are the shutfim. We the ones that have to push the buttons. Hashem gave us the world. He gave us the Torah. That's a much bigger, whatever. Okay, let's not go down there now. That's going to take us off track here completely. Let's focus on what he's focusing on. I've got to tell myself this. I keep telling you this. Let's learn the safe and hear what he has to say. And my personal issues will have to wait. Okay, if you've got kashas and questions, ask them. But I'm saying my question that I have here is a stomach question on tefillah. It's nothing to do with this particular subject. So that's not our main theme now. That's why I'm not dealing with it. It's a stomach sugya on its own. You heard last Tuesday's of Leuchtershire in South Africa, Jonathan?
No, I didn't.
Kibbutz Gilbert's webinars, whatever that he's doing. Anyway, so he dealt with that question. He dealt with that question in South Africa. 2 weeks ago, a week ago, Lozoche, he gave a shiur on Dafkon this question. He wrote a book on Tfilah of Leuchtershire. So it's similar to what we're going to say now. We'll see. Okay, but leave that aside for now. It may be relevant later. Let's see. Okay. But why Hashem did what he did, Lord, that's not my business. I need to know. I need to understand what's going on in Torah. I'm trying to understand Torah. I'm trying to understand what Hashem did. Why Hashem did what he did. He did it because that's the best thing. Why did Hashem make Auschwitz? You understand? I don't know. But that's what he did. Why he did it? I can look back and see the benefits. I can see what I have to learn from it. I can see Mazeh in the Hemshech of the history of Klal Yisrael, where it fits in. Yeah, that you can do. About why Hashem did it, we don't understand that. You can't ask the question. I don't know what Hashem did. You could say it's a punishment, there was so much assimilation, and therefore this was a consequence, those kind of things, but why Hashem does what he does, we never know. Okay. Fine, so what did Chazal say? Hashem has some kind of a desire for the tefillahs, and therefore he withholds from you what you want in order that you'll daven for it. So whatever that means, I don't know, but for sure it means that Hashem withholds things from us because he wants us to daven for them. Because why? Because he's awesome. But what that means, I don't know, but it means there's a need in the Bria for me to daven. And if I'm not lacking anything, I'm not going to daven for it. If you're not lacking it, why would you ask for it? If the child's got the sweet, he's not going to ask for the sweet. He's too busy enjoying the sweet, so why would he ask for the sweet? So you withhold what the person wants in order to get him to daven for it. That's the way the system works. So Kodesh Baruch Hu withholds children from the mothers because Hashem needs their tefillahs, wants their tefillahs, whatever the reason is, whatever it means that Hashem's nisava mitfilosa. Shtaymois bonus base Israel, Rochel Imeni Vilaymeinu. We see that two mothers basically built Klal Israel, Rochel and Leah. And can Isbain and Bitsukim Bidibre Chazal Nimse Shelea Niten La Koma Shibuksha. If you go through comparing Leah to Rochel, you'll see that Leah had it easy. She just got whatever she wanted. She davened that she shouldn't marry Esav, even though that was the decree of Kadosh Baruch Hu was crazy that she should marry Esav. She davened. She said, okay, I don't have to marry Esav. She davened for children. She got them. She was supposed to give birth to Yosef, but she felt bad for Rachel, so she davened that she shouldn't have another boy. So that Rochel won't have less than the Shivchos, and so Yosef became Dina in the womb. Hashem turned the world upside down for her, and that's what happened. He got Moira Hashem al Milu b'Keshose Shoynes, Ki Ro Hashem b'Oyni, Ki Shama Hashem Ki Sno Noichi Nosan Elikim Schori. She thanks Hashem all the time for she asked and she got it on the spot, and then she thanks Hashem. She asked, she's answered. Lumusa Rochel, so now we've got to look at Rochel. Completely the opposite. Rochel Amen Mavaka Albana Ade Yomaze, she's crying Ade Yomaze for her children and she hasn't been answered. Rochel Amen is crying, now she's crying. Mavaka Albana Ade Yom Vadain Lunet, she hasn't been answered. Then Andecha Kishne Subet Tfilas have. There's two types of tefillah, at least. The purpose of this discussion, I'm going to put them into two compartments. Tefillah hapoeles ala mitpalel ba'ofen yashir. There's a tefillah that connects to the person who's davening direct. But tefillah hamashpia al kol ha'olam. There's another tefillah that has an impact globally, a macrocosmic impact. It affects the whole world. So Leah davens, she gets answered directly. Rochel davens and davens and doesn't. She's not getting answered directly, but she's being mashpia on the whole world. Those are the two types of tefillah that we have in the world. Vamnam, Kigilu lan Hashem Yisbarach al-Dibay Chazal, Ki ha'olam nizoin bishvil Hananya bni. Gemara in Brachos tells us that Rabbi Hanina ben Daisa, in his merit, the whole world got food. The whole world was nurtured, nourished, in the schus of Rabbi Hanina ben Daisa. Hananya bni, daylo bekav charuvi me'erev Shabbos le'erev Shabbos. But Rabbi Hanina ben Daisa himself, he barely had a panasa. The Chazals describe his poverty in the most extreme way. Unbelievable poverty. So he survived on a cover of cheruvim, of cherubs, from one week to the next. So what's this Chazal teaching us? This is a Gemara. The Gemara is not telling us a history story. The Gemara is not telling stories. This is the Gemara wants us to learn something from this. Rabbi Hanina ben Daisa, in the schus of Rabbi Hanina ben Daisa, the whole world ate, and some of the people that were eating really well. You know, there were guys up there eating steak and whatever, living beautifully. And Rabbi Hanina ben Daisa was living off a kar of krulim, a charuvim. That's Chazal telling us here. What are we supposed to learn from this? We kiklum chosu beis hamelech. One second. In the Chusa Rebbe Chanim and Daisa, you got enough in your storehouses to feed the whole world. But just not Rebbe Chanim and Daisa. For him, you don't have enough to really feed him properly. He has to live in abject poverty. What? But שצריך כל גודל כרבי חנינה שכל אלו ניזן בשבילו, מדוע שלא יקבל גם הוא אספנסה ברווח? This big tzaddik, the whole world is on his shoulders. So what, he can't have a decent meal now and again as well? He can't have a decent panasa? He doesn't want to be a millionaire. He doesn't want to be overburdened with having to deal with the nisoinus of having wealth and having to care of his money. No, but at least just a reasonable panasa. The answer is like this. In order that there should be the possibility to bring this benefit, this shefa, this flow into the world, the flow of panasa, Olan miskokik litfilos of Sherebi Chanina. You need someone to daven for it. You need somebody who can go up there and push the buttons in the Shemayim. Ketzed Rebbe Chanina shetefkidu ili palela panasa b'miyuchad. Was Rebbe Chanina the one who understands that you have to daven for panasa b'miyuchad? Because he asks himself, why is Hashem giving me panasa b'tzimtzum? Hashem's got whatever he wants. Hashem gives me everything. I lo chaser Hashem klum. And when you're after he's giving me, he's still not chaser. If Hashem gives you $1 million, his bank account stays the same. If I give you 10 cents, I'm poor about 10 cents. If Hashem gives you $1 million or $20 million or $1 billion, his account stays the same. Nothing changes. He makes a withdrawal and the balance stays the same. Kef, no? So Rabbi Chanina said, asks himself, for sure Hashem can give me whatever I need. He gave me lots of children, he gave me a wonderful family, he gave me a mind, I can mamash learn, he was the God Lador, he was the Tzadik Ador. But this Hashem can't give me, must be a reason for it. He understands that he's Iker Avoida in Tefillah, but he's got to daven for other things as well. But because of the chesara, because of the lack, he understands that that's where he has to put his koichos of Tefillah in. Lav dafka just for him, not just for him. This is the nekuda I said earlier. Come back now, one second, let's just finish this. The gilui to Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa that he's Iker Avoida right now in Tfilis for Panasa is because Hashem shows him. He understands, I'm lacking Panasa. That's not because Hashem doesn't want me to have Panasa, because Hashem wants me to be building Tfilah to bring Panasa into the world, not just for me, for everybody. Hashem wants Panasa in the world. And the people who don't have it, the people that are the Sonach Kofi Yotzim Yadi, But they also need to be fed. Why does Hashem keep people that are semech and korech and yod and deny Hashem? Why do they have to stay alive? Fine, that's because Hashem needs to keep them alive. It is a rachim and whatever, for whatever reason, until they do tshuva, whatever, that's not a cheshbon. Hashem needs to keep these people alive. They don't daven. They don't, you might say, deserve, so to speak, panosa. So somebody has to daven for them. So Hashem lets Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, the tzaddik ador, now, this is what I need you to focus on now. How does he do that? By having a machzor, by creating a lack in Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, he knows then that he has to daven for panasa, and the schus of that tefillah, everybody else gets answered. Rak the schus tefillah of Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa isn't kol olam. The schus of his tefillah, the entire world gets mazon. So I just want to get into Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa's idea for 1 minute. How does he daven? He understands this, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. Umi vinetze. He has to understand this. We understand it already, he for sure understood. But how does he daven? He's davening for Panosa for himself? He's davening for everybody? He's looking at what does Hashem need in the world? Hashem needs the world to be mefanest. Hashem wants the world to be mefanest. So when he davens, Hashem, you want the world to be mefanest, so please mefanest the world. He's not davening for Chanina. He's taken Chanina out of there a little bit. Chanina is not the center of the universe. Hashem is the center of the universe. Hashem wants there should be panosa in the world. And therefore, Chanina is governing for panosa from Hashem's perspective, not from his. The lack tells him what he needs to do, daven for panosa. But when he davens for panosa, he's davening because he wants the Rotzen Hashem to be makai. You know what I'm saying? It's a different way of looking at things. He's looking at what does Hashem want to bring into the world? What does Hashem want? for sure he's davening for his own panasa as well. He's not saying don't give me panasa, because no, he also wants panasa. But his main focus is, what does Hashem want? Hashem wants the world to be mafanes. So he's davening Hashem, please mafanes the world. Can he not? That's your answer. Because if he's davening for himself, if he's davening for himself only, what does it help him that the next door neighbor's got food when he doesn't have food? The fact that the next door neighbor got answered, how does it help? My tefillah never got answered. I don't have what to eat. Your tefillah got answered, or I get answered now, it'll get answered in 6 weeks' time. In 6 weeks' time, I'm going to be dead if I don't get food now. What does it help me that my tefillah will be answered later? Or the next door neighbor will get the food. Mazel zeli. That was what we said right in the beginning. I thought, Bishay tefillah shavareikam. A tefillah never comes back unanswered. Bekomakam, ain't ze mochrach, she a tefillah nene, a tane boy saifin, she bigger shabbat else. They're going to get it the way you want it, or when you want it. Or mazel zeli. I don't need for food because I need food, because I need to survive another day. Now, and I didn't get answered, I didn't get food. But I'm fine with that because I'll get food in 6 weeks' time, or maybe my grandchildren will get the food from this tefillah, or the next door neighbor will get it. But at the end of the day, I need to eat. What does it help me? How do you daven like this? Yeah. So the vote is, if I understood this properly, is that I'm not davening for me, dafka, for food. I'm davening because Hashem wants food to be in the world. And my main, I'm davening that there should become food in the world. And I'll also get my portion, whatever is magieli. For Rabbi Chimenda, he says, it's kavah charuvim. So, he has what to live. But he's not davening for his panasa, because if he's davening for his panasa, his tefillah wasn't answered vizeli. No, he was davening for a shell to be nest. And that answered. Where was it answered? Everywhere. When? Maybe in the future time. Because he wasn't davening for him. If you're davening for you and you're not getting answered, you never got answered. Mazel zelecha, that it's in 6 weeks' time, your grandchildren are going to get it, or the next door neighbor's going to get it. That doesn't satisfy me. For this ein tefillah shavareikam, you're davening. Hashem wants the world to be mafanes, so you're davening for Hashem to mafanes his world. Now the world's mafanes, so your tefillah was answered. Fine, and that's just not in panasa. This is in everything. Go back to Rachel the layer there. You'll see that there's two types of buttons. I mean, the marshal we used earlier with the chashmal. There's a button, prati basi, shebim tsoise madlikim chashmal b'chedechot. In every person's house, there's little buttons on all the walls, private little buttons. You push the button, it switches on one light in the bedroom, three in the lounge. But those are individual buttons. But moise yesh metad, shebim tsoise madlikim es hachashmal l'kol ha'ir. There's other buttons, you know, down at the tachanah koyach or whatever, big buttons or whatever, you switch them out, it lightens up the whole city. Could be that that button, this button that lights up the whole city, is buried down deep in a very dark basement somewhere. That button, when you push it, lightens up the whole city. There's certain tefillahs which are shaykh just to me, personal, private tefillah, that I'm davening for me, and I'll get on, sit me, just me, that little button, I switch the light in my room, and I got the light in my room. Lumazayz yisham tefillin, shayin kemetag reishi, lekol ha'ir, hametag hamadlik et ha'ol lekol ha'ir, ach ein ze osha chede shebo nimtza hametag gam hu yemor. This big button sitting down there in the chavrat chashmal, in the basement or whatever, this big switch in a dark room, when you switch it on, it might be that the room that the switch is on, the light won't go on. Because there's no light now, you don't need light there. But what are you talking about? That switch lit up the whole city, the whole of New York has now got light because of that switch, but that switch is sitting in darkness. Yeah, could be, in the Marshall, yeah. This button's in a dark basement. And it'll stay dark even after you switch on the switch. Klaima, titochen tefila ketefila shel Rabbi Chanina. That's the tefila of Rabbi Chanina. Afal shibush koich leir kol lekol yesh ve'tev lekol ha'ilam nizan b'schuse. Even though he's lighting up the whole world's eating in his merit. Hu atzmei shor b'tzave yesh lo rak kav charuvim. That's Rabbi Chanina. Do you mind if I just go one of the last few finish the paragraphs, so we don't leave Amish punt in the middle here? Whoever has to go, you can get the recording afterwards. And Tenu Lamdin Shah Tfila Khoivahi. Comes out first of all, Tfila Zakhir. Kika Gozra Khachmas is Barak, because that's what Hashem is determined, that's what Hashem is Gaiza. Well, Adayel Yerit Kol Shefalayla. Without it, no Shef is coming into the world. Kulam Kaitzer Yada Adam Amahu Tzarich Litpalel. How does a person know what to daven for? Kaitzer Yada is a chef who Tzarich Lashpir Bebriya. How does he know what he has to bring into the world? When a person sees that he is lacking something or he's suffering from something, he's got a certain problem, she wants you to bring the shefa into the world. That's what tefillah is called, avoider. You're serving, so to speak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're providing him with a service. Hashem wants to bestow benefit, he wants to flow into the world, he wants his higher shefa to come into this world. The tefillah is what enables the goodness that Hashem wants to put into the world, that's what allows it to come into the world. And he also serves the whole world that didn't daven. This guy gets the benefit. He got children because of somebody else's tefillahs. He wasn't daven for children. He didn't have to do that. There's a poor guy at home, chasvila, doesn't have children. He's daven for children. And everybody's having children. And those are all his children. He created all those children with his tefillah. We'll see, this also has impacts in the next world. Although this is a very deep sugya, it's a very hard avoider, by the way. This is a whole shift in how we daven. This is a sugya. We have to stop here. You have to go think about this. If tomorrow we just go on to the next sugya and you didn't give us more than 30 seconds thought, chaval, mamash chaval, because this can change your life. Mamash can change, mamash, first get a whole new perspective on reality like this. Okay, Rabbi Sai, Tov, Zazan mit gesund.
You might repeating
repeating what?